Welcome into the Just Above Average podcast. I am your host, Dominic, once again. This will be the final episode of 2020. We're going to go into 2021, hopefully with some new topics, and see if we can't continue this train rolling on down the tracks. But for the final episode in 2020, we're going to cover what is Section 230, the little-known provision that Donald Trump has latched onto in wanting to repeal, as well as we're going to talk about presidents post-FDR, and I'm going to give you my grades of their presidencies and what I think of each of those presidents. That on this episode of the Just Above Average podcast. Welcome back. I would just like to thank you all for listening to this podcast here this past year. I have enjoyed recording all these episodes, and I hope to continue it into the future as we move into 2021. But let's just jump right in here to the first topic being Section 230. What is it? This is what Trump has seemingly zeroed in on as what he perceives to be big tech taking over everything. In reality, Section 230 provides liability protection from anyone, particularly social media websites, or really any website, from content that users may post on their sites. So, as an example, if someone were to threaten someone with bodily harm on a website, that does the protection is that the person cannot sue Facebook or whoever it is where they posted, cannot sue Facebook for attempting to have bodily harm against them. And I'm going to hopefully give a couple more examples here that might be a little more easy to understand. Anything you post, if you post a bomb threat on Twitter saying, I'm going to blow up the post office, definitely a federal crime. Twitter is not responsible for that bomb threat. That means that Twitter can't be charged with a bomb threat, right? It is legal liability protection from what third-party users post on websites. Which I don't understand why Trump seems to want to get rid of it, because Section 30 is what allows him to promote all the lies on Twitter and say blatantly false things on YouTube. If Section 230 didn't exist, there would be all sorts of censorship, since every single internet media company would be afraid of being sued. And they would be liable for it. So I don't quite understand who explained what Section 230 is, because he's arguing for the exact opposite of what would benefit him. So if Section 230 went away, Trump says Brad Raffensperger's brother works for China. This is the Georgia Secretary of State. This is what he said lately. Brad Raffensperger does not have a brother, period. So Twitter would be liable to be sued by Brad Raffensperger for defamation or whatever, in addition to Donald Trump being kind of open to that. So Section 230 protects not only the platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, it also protects like anonymous accounts. All in all, I don't understand why or how he's become so obsessed with it, because he's arguing against exactly the opposite of what it means. He's arguing now that there's censorship due to 230. Actually, there'll be even more censorship. I shouldn't say even more. There will be straight up censorship if Section 230 was repealed. It's liability protection for against third-party users posting illegal or whatever things on their websites or platforms or whatever. So that's what Section 230 is. Hopefully I've explained it well enough for people to understand it. It's definitely not controversial. I'm going to use one more example, and I hope you can apply to it. If someone commits a murder in your house and you're not there, that does not mean that you can be charged with murder, right? That's the exact same thing. That's what Section 230 is on the internet, basically. So hopefully I've explained it well enough. And we will jump right into the ranking of presidents post-FDR. So I'm just going to go sequentially from most close to FDR to present. So we will start with Harry S. Truman of my home state of Missouri, born not too far here from my hometown in Lamar, Missouri. He was born in Lamar, rather, not my hometown. But he is one of two presidents that I give an A rating. And I'm going to go through kind of the reasons and some of the highlights of their presidencies. Obviously should get credit for ending World War II. His major success is the Marshall Plan and post-war European reconstruction, creation of the UN, recognition of Israel as a nation, civil rights. He was a little bit ahead of his time, but he got the ball rolling with the desegregation of the military. He was before his time on healthcare proposals as well, but he's kind of the guy that kind of moved the ball down the field in terms of these ideas that later became law, but at the time, apparently we just weren't ready for it. But as a bonus, I added in his time as a senator in regarding and investigating military waste, what's known as the Truman Committee, which they traveled around and found that the military was incredibly wasteful with their spending, which we certainly need another Truman Committee today because our defense budget is wildly bloated and 100% full of waste. So I've also ranked him my top international president of all the presidents that I am ranking here today. He didn't have as many domestic successes, but that's totally understandable as he was focused on ending World War II and literally putting the whole world back together. So moving on to Dwight Eisenhower, I gave him a B-. So his presidency wasn't very exciting. He did have a couple big highlights that I will hit here. The admission of Hawaii and Alaska as states. Before Eisenhower, we just had 48 states. The creation of the interstate system, which I am a big proponent of as it reduces or makes us more efficient in terms of reducing the amount of crashes and all sorts of things in regards to public health with the interstate system. He also got 5 Supreme Court justices. Anytime you have 5 appointments in 8 years, you're going to get a lot of sway in terms of the direction of the court. But there wasn't very much domestically under Eisenhower. And then internationally, it was just kind of a continuation of putting the world back together. So I gave him a B-, nothing exciting, really. Didn't do anything too awful, in my opinion. Just kind of kept chugging along. John F. Kennedy. This will be a ranking that I think might surprise a lot of people, but I gave JFK a C+. My reasoning for this is that he was great on inspiration and vision, but he didn't actually get very much done. He did navigate the Cuban Missile Crisis, but he also had the Bay of Pigs failure. He helped create the Peace Corps, but he was pretty much responsible for us getting into Vietnam. He had a nuclear drawdown with the Soviet Union, which was a positive. And of course, space exploration and civil rights, kind of inspiring that for the next president. So he had some ups and downs. Obviously, when you are assassinated in office, you're not going to get very much done. But I gave him a C+ because being inspirational is great and all, but it doesn't do a whole lot for people. Doesn't do much for your country, but he didn't do a whole lot. He inspired many things that would go on to become great, but his administration itself did not get that much done. So, which moves us right along to LBJ, Lyndon Johnson. He did what JFK dreamed. He's the one who kind of moved the ball on the space program, was the one largely responsible for getting civil rights kind of onto the next plane. The Great Society and the War on Poverty is the greatest domestic programming since FDR, and I think it's arguably better. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, voting rights, removing quotas on immigration, appointing Thurgood Marshall as the first African-American Supreme Court justice. Just his accomplishments bettered this country more than any other president post-FDR, and I would argue more than FDR. That's just my opinion. But the one thing that everybody remembers him for, Vietnam, he had really no other options at that point. The Kennedy administration left him with no options. And so a lot of people, including my dad, place Vietnam and blame for Vietnam pretty solely at his feet. But just my opinion, I don't think he's as responsible as what history has shown him to be. But I rank LBJ as the best domestic president. Just the number of successes, especially domestically, just one after the other, made this country a better place, moved the needle on so many issues, and I think he doesn't get enough credit. He's one of my top two favorite presidents of all time. So, moving on to Richard Nixon, I gave a C-. This is a guy who did what I would say is incredible damage to the presidency and our institutions. I'm not too hard on him for Vietnam, which I kind of explained just a little bit before. I trace back JFK. There were a few highlights for Nixon, as much as people say he's just one of the worst ever. I mean, he does have some successes that I applaud. The Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, sort of. I mean, he was in favor of the idea, but not the funding, which is kind of a whole nother process. He did have a few kind of modernization updates to programs like Medicaid, kind of cleaning up some of the loopholes that obviously in these massive programs, you're not going to plug all the holes the first time. He did fill a few of those holes, but most of his successes, like landing a man on the moon, those were laid by JFK and Johnson. But I think he did incredible damage to our institutions. So for that, I gave him a C-. Next is Gerald Ford, who I gave a C+. Not because he was so successful, but because he has a different level of standards. He is the Kim Anderson of Mizzou basketball. So for any of my Mizzou basketball fans out here, Mizzou basketball, after Frank Haith went into a period of probation and scholarship reductions and graduation rates that were so low, the program was just in a bad place. So Anderson's, they've never said this publicly about Mizzou basketball, but I think his job was not even so much to win games as it was to get graduation rates up, get players on the straight and narrow, up the APR rates, that sort of thing. And he did that. He eventually got fired, and we moved on to Konzo Martin at Mizzou basketball. But Gerald Ford is the equivalent of that for the government. He basically, his job as a president was to not have scandals and start restoring faith in government. He didn't get much done as he didn't have a whole lot of time in office, but in terms of what his bar was, I think he did an okay job. So I gave him a C+. I'm not too bent out of shape if someone wants to rank him a little higher. I just think you have to grade Ford on a different type of curve than you grade any other president that we've had post-FDR. After Ford was Jimmy Carter. And I don't know if there was a president or is a president that has been dealt a more horrible hand in their presidency. Stagnation, inflation, a huge recession, just the Iran hostage crisis being made worse by Republican operatives and Reaganites who were intentionally harming the United States, which that is a really good story. If you ever are interested in that, look up how the Republican Party prolonged the Iran hostage crisis to hurt Jimmy Carter's reelection campaign. Really good story. So he was dealt just the worst hand of any president. He still managed to have a couple successes. The first, most foremost, in my opinion, is the Camp David Accords, which pertains to the Israel-Palestinian conflict. That's kind of where the idea for a two-state solution was born. And the framework of that has kind of been, was created there and has been the framework of any discussion from then until now. So that was a huge step. He also had a few other little things like the expansion of Head Start. But I gave him a C. I don't think there's any person elected president at the time who would have done just miraculously better. Moving on to 1980, at the election of Ronald Reagan, who was a horrible president. And in the future, I'm going to do an episode on the Reagan era. But lordy, lordy, he was a horrible president with the projection on the illusion of success. Is the best way I can put it. And they were very good about projecting what they wanted to project, when in reality the substance was awful. The Art Laffer curve, which he based his entire economic plan on, is just a total lie. H.W. Bush called it voodoo economics, and he was 100% correct. They focused on deregulation and union busting, which have kind of irredeemably hurt American working people. Just escalation of tensions internationally with the Soviet Union and other countries. The war on drugs has been a total failure, just ignoring AIDS and sexual education. Made the sexual ed or sex ed in schools, ignorance is bliss. That is Ronald Reagan's presidency. And then as a bonus, I hope you have the time to look it up, just sabotaging him and his minions, sabotaging Jimmy Carter on Iran in the hostage crisis. Just a horrible president. And I am going to do a future episode on our tax policy and our economy in the past 100 years in America, and Reagan's influence on it, because he did have a huge influence, his presidency did. Just, I will cover that in another episode, but I gave him a D because his presidency was awful for American people. despite what is rhetoric and what people want to believe about it, it was terrible. H.W. Bush. A lot of people don't remember him fondly, I guess, but I give him a B+, really solid score. I actually really admire him. He was a good, experienced hand in the presidency. He called out the baloney Reaganomics. He called it voodoo economics, and he was 100% correct. It doesn't work. There is no trickle-down effect. It's trickle into corporation and rich people's pockets, and then trickle it back into the stock buybacks, and then they get more rich. That's what trickle-down is. Leaves trickles nowhere but straight to rich people's pockets. But we're talking about HW, and that was Reagan. I really admire him for going back on his pledge to not raise taxes because it was for the good of the country. And his raising of taxes or advocating for it is what set up Bill Clinton to have the first budget surplus in a long, long time. So I have to give credit where credit is due. H.W. Bush did a really, really good job, I think, in my opinion. He oversaw the fall of the Soviet Union, the breaking up of all those countries, the fall of the Berlin Wall. He's the president most really responsible for NAFTA and its negotiation. He had a really good immigration policy, which I'm sure was influenced by the fact that Jeb had a immigrant wife. But however it happened, I'm glad it did. Maybe his greatest success was the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act. He wasn't great internationally, though. Obviously, the Middle East and the major problems that we see today kind of started with H.W. Bush. But overall, I think he was a pretty good president. That's why I gave him a B+. So after H.W. was Clinton, I gave him an A-. Although as I talk more and more, I think I should probably bump that down into the B+, B range. He was a huge beneficiary of H.W. Bush having courage. H.W. set us on the track, and then Clinton kept us that way, and it led to the first budget surplus. I mean, Clinton has a bunch of other successes too, like the Brady Bill regarding background checks, kind of the implementation of NAFTA, which I regard as a relatively good thing, modernization of government with the rise of the dot-com era. And one thing that doesn't get talked about that in Democratic circles I think they need to readopt is the safe, legal, and rare rhetoric around abortion. The steepest decline in abortion and abortion rates actually came under Bill Clinton, and kind of this that mantra of safe, legal, and rare. I think politically it's a very savvy move, but I think more policy-wise, I think it's also better because it changes the way we look at abortion as an issue, and that might be a whole other story for another time, but it 100% was very effective. Also had the Irish peace talks, which resulted in the Good Friday Agreement, which I don't think too many Americans are very familiar with, kind of Northern Ireland and the Irish and the IRA. But it's something for a lot of people to look into and research. But obviously you do have to give at least some level of credit for his successes, particularly on the budget to H.W. Bush. The turn of the 21st century gave us George W. Bush, and I gave him a very generous D+. And I feel like it was difficult to give W. a lower score than that because his heart was always in the right place. And you can see that post his presidency and kind of the entire way he conducted himself. But yeah, the policies absolutely stunk. The Middle East, obviously been a huge failure. The 2001 and 2003 tax cuts with increased spending have absolutely destroyed our budget deficit and debt. No Child Left Behind, another policy with a great intention, but implementation has been horrible. I mean, he did do, in terms of projection and being a light for Americans, you know, we had 9/11 and Katrina, which were government failures in response, but in terms of him projecting a steady hand, he did do that. But the creation of the War on Terror, is something that is unattainable and will be unending. I have to give him a deep D in the D range for sure. But things like No Child Left Behind weren't totally his fault, because there were things that had bipartisan agreement there. So moving on to Obama, I give Obama a B. But as a precursor to anything about his presidency, I just want to say I can't imagine having the dreams of an entire race thrust upon you. No matter what he did, there was going to be everything that was microscoped in a way that did not apply to any other president that we've ever had. So in that sense, the second he was elected, there was this expectation thrust upon him that none of us will probably ever know. So he gets a level of credit for that, regardless of anything he did policy-wise. Because what he did do policy-wise, moving on, was pretty underwhelming. The Affordable Care Act was a huge thing, no doubt about that. Very positive for the country, pulling the country out of a recession. The Paris Climate Agreement was huge for climate change. The Iran nuclear agreement was one of the biggest steps toward a Middle East peace process that we could have ever had. Taking out Osama bin Laden and the normalization of Cuban relations, all positive highlights. But if you notice, a lot of those things are international, with the exception of the ACA. And that's because he struggled to relate to Congress. And that's why they struggled to get very much done. The very short period where they had a Senate supermajority, or filibuster-proof majority, they did get a couple big things done. Lilly Ledbetter Pay Fair Act, or Fair Pay Act, sorry, the ACA. But largely Obama's presidency was underwhelming. Especially because they had massive majorities in the legislature and didn't really get a whole lot done with them. Moving on to the final president that we will rank, because Joe Biden's presidency hasn't started yet, that would be Donald Trump, who I give the lowest grade at a D-. He has done incalculable damage to our institutions. In his administration, ignorance has been uplifted and expertise damned. He has personally profited from the presidency to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. He didn't divest. His family didn't divest in the way that Jimmy Carter was forced to sell his peanut farm. His family, who is unqualified to work in the White House, have prominent positions. And that's just before we start anything policy-wise. Just across the board, he has used his presidency for personal financial gain. And there, you can say anything you want about how he donates his salary, but when you take in thousands times more in other government spending to your personal properties I don't give you any credit for donating your salary. Sorry. The tariffs and trade wars have not been won easily. In fact, they have put us in a worse position while having to spend a mountain, which has resulted in a huge deficit and increase in the debt. We had irresponsible tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy. And all of this happened when we were in relatively good economic times. Our deficit was ballooning even before COVID. All the things that were happening were blowing up our national debt. All of that happened when we had a good economy. Ignore attempting to dismantle the ACA. Actually, just in general, you can and should have looked back on it now. Just if anything had something to do with Obama, Trump wanted to undo it. And that is just an explanation of the entire Trump presidency. Alienating allies, sucking up to enemies. And something I do want to cover, because a lot of people, both sides isms this, when you lie after lie after lie. There is a level of normal gamesmanship, what I like to call technical truths, things that aren't really true, but they're technically true, right? But they aren't really reflective of reality. I've said this in a previous episode about how Roy Blunt is a king at this, saying things that are technically true, but come on, man, not really. If there is one positive that I have to say something positive about each president, I mean, the stock market was a positive, but to me, that's never been a good indicator of the economy, so it's not really positive in my eyes, because corporations just take their tax cuts and put them into stock buybacks, which artificially inflate those stock prices. But so D minus. It's really, really, really hard for me to give an F to any president, just because I believe in public service and giving of yourself. And even if Trump doesn't, there's still some level of respect for the office. In my eyes, in my opinion, but that's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening once again. Hopefully we will be back in 2021 with some new amazing topics. One of the ones in the future I would really like to get to is our history of tax policy and our economic system in America. So thanks for listening in, and we will see you next time.